and we are pleased to be joined in studio by Lloyd Kahn. Lloyd is the featured speaker on this weekend's sustainability symposium at North House Folk School. That will be tomorrow evening at 7:30. We'll talk a little bit more about that. His most recent book, and he has written several, is Tiny Homes, Simple Shelter, Scaling Back in the 21st Century. He lives in San Francisco, in Northern California, on a, about a half-acre spread up there. Is that right, Lloyd?
Yeah, I call it a half-acre homestead.
At any rate, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Now, first of all, you have been a proponent. This goes back and dates a bunch of us, but you were actually for the Whole Earth Catalog.
Yeah, I was the shelter editor.
Shelter editor a number of years ago. Yeah. How did you come by your interest, Lloyd, in small, self-built, and let's face it, some pretty unusual homes?
Well, in 1973, we published a book called Shelter. It was an oversized book like the Whole Earth Catalog, and at the heart of the book were five little tiny buildings where we drew the framework, every stick in the building, so people could visualize them. There was like a shed roof, a low gable, a high gable, a gambrel roof, and a circular roof. And we kind of proposed then that people start small. So here, 35 to 40 years later, there seems to be a movement on tiny homes. And so...
When you first started that, though, you kind of had to have been... To coin a phrase, voices in the wilderness, because that was at a time in the 70s, particularly early 70s, when suburban sprawl was really at its height. People were starting to build bigger and bigger and bigger. You kind of were going against the grain then.
Well, but there were quite a few people. I mean, the 60s happened in the 70s.
Okay, true.
And so in the 70s, there were a lot of people who were building their own shelter, and some of them were doing it small. It just, some people approached it as an artistic project, and that was one thing, but there were also people who were into practicality, and so there were a lot of people, lots of people then that were kind of following this concept.
Uh-huh.
And it's gone on. I mean, it's gone on, but it seems to have suddenly blossomed in the last couple of years.
And had you been interested in sustainability and smaller footprints type of thing even before that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those concepts from the 60s, like organic farming and ecological awareness and political activism and, communication with dolphins, all those things seem to be coming back around now. And I think it's like the 20-year-olds. The 20-year-olds come up to us at these green festivals where we sell books, and they've just discovered Shelter, which is a 40-year-old book.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's kind of, there's a new generation. They're like the children of the baby boom. And they have a lot of the same ideas we had in the 60s and 70s.
Hey, what do you think, though, why did it take so long for other people, to catch on to the fact that the way we live, at least in this country, is just not sustainable?
Well,
I suppose like anything else, you got to be hit in the face with it before.
Yeah, well, the recession.
Yeah.
The real estate bust. And then I think a lot of people wanted to get away from having a mortgage or paying high rents.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't think tiny homes are for everyone, but if I were young and say maybe I'd lost my job and I had more time than money, I'm not really the tiny homes guy. I'm really more of the owner-builder guy. Use your hands to build your own, to create your own shelter.
Uh-huh.
And that's always been what I, because that's what I did. And I've never had a mortgage. And that's been quite a big factor in my life.
Sure.
And so I think that, those reasons. And then there are a couple of people out there. One guy is named Jay Schaefer from of Tumbleweed Houses. And another is Deke Diedrichson, who's done kind of a comic book of little tiny structures. And so they've been, preaching, and it's caught on. It's, Jay was on Oprah and the Today Show. And if you search nowadays for tiny homes and say Google, you'll find a lot of stuff going on every day.
Now, the book itself, Tiny Home, Simple Shelter, it, which, by the way, is a beautiful book.
Thank you.
Photography and all of the rest of it is just fantastic. But there are a number, obviously, of criteria for the book or for the homes that are in here. First of all, there's like 250 buildings in here, and truly some of the more unusual living dwellings that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're all owner built.
No, not all of them. No, some of them come as kits.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are some of them are built by other people. It's really a scrapbook of a lot of different things.
But all basically under 500 square feet.
Yeah, that's the criteria.
That's really the criteria. Yeah. There's homes that are in trees, on water, on wheels, on land.
Yeah.
How did you come across all these various homes? I mean, how did you make contact with these people, or how did you come by them?
Well, I was looking for the next book to do, and I seemed to only get one building book together every 3 or 4 years, and so I started collecting information on tiny homes. But we've kind of built back our network of people interested in building that we had back in the 70s. So people would write in, they'd send photos, they'd email photos to us. We'd find stuff on the web. I found some things that I knew about. And what I do when I collect it, I just collect information and I put it I keep an electronic record of it, but I also have old-fashioned file folders, and I put stuff in the file folders. And so after about a year of doing
this. Yeah, I think I remember those.
Yeah, fifth cut. Yeah. Well, that was from another life of mine as an insurance broker. By the time I had a drawer full of them, took about a year. It wasn't full time, but you know, every chance I got, then I started to do layout. And the way I did layout was to just look at the drawer and pull out the most interesting looking folders and lay out 2 or 4 pages at a time, and kept doing that in no particular order. And then, as happens generally, putting together a book, it started to fall into an order. And then I would do layout the old-fashioned way with Scotch tape, and pasting things down, and then they would go off to the computer guy, who would do the files for the printer, and so we just started putting the book together. And when you do a project, you kind of get a feeling when you start if it's going well, and sometimes it doesn't, and this one just clicked. You know, everything was full speed ahead. So
now, have you? There are approximately, excuse me, about 250 buildings in this particular book. Have you seen all of them?
No, you haven't. No,
I mean, other than obviously photographs.
No, most of the photos came in from other people. The previous book I did called Builders of the Pacific Coast had 1,200 photos in it, and 1,000 of them were mine.
Ah.
This book has 1,300 photos in it, and 200 of them are mine.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, some of the more unusual ones, in fact, this is, to my mind, the most unusual one. This is the Tokyo Capsule Hotel.
Yeah.
And this is a hotel where you get to keep your stuff in a locker, but your room, basically, where you live, I don't know how many total rooms, over 100 of them are rented by the month. They're actually like capsules, the largest of which is 6.5 feet deep and 5 feet wide. Now, the first thing I think of, Lloyd, when I hear that is claustrophobia.
Yeah, well, you didn't mention the height. I mean, the height is not, you can't stand up.
You can barely even kneel in there.
Yeah, it's like 3 feet,
and yet here's
feet.
A photo of a guy, his coat's hanging in there, his bed's in there, you've got TV, you've got internet.
Yeah, he's got his laptop.
But that is small.
Well, you know, I mean, for one thing, I'm a journalist at heart, and I put in the book the things that are of interest to me.
Sure.
I mean, I could not live that way. I don't think I could spend I did spend a few hours at the Tokyo airport in a very, very, these little rooms that you rented by the hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was okay. I mean, if it's designed well, but no, I couldn't live that way, but I just thought it was interesting.
Absolutely.
Extremely high rent in Tokyo, and the guy just goes into the room to sleep and do a little laptop work, but otherwise he's out and he's got a cafe and a work room there for computer work.
You share a bathroom, kind of a big bathroom,
but
there is a room that you can sit at a chair at a table and do some
But it's definitely weird.
Yeah. The other, or several others, but the other one that I really liked is the Pallet House.
Yeah.
It's a home built out of wood pallets.
Yeah, well.
And it's really kind of attractive.
Yeah, it is, but it's not a home, really.
Oh.
I mean, but the, what they did.
Oh, you're right.
It's like a garden shed or something, you know, but there are people who use pallets that, you know, it can be done.
And there are also some architecture-drawn homes that are very, very small, but really, really attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, there are good architects in the world, and we've got some of them in the book.
If a person wanted to build a really small home but just wasn't sure, let's say they wanted to, first of all, I should let folks know that we're visiting with Lloyd Kahn. Lloyd is the featured speaker at this weekend's Sustainability Symposium at North House Folk School. You'll be speaking tomorrow night at 7:30. Are you basically talking about homes that are like in the book here?
Yeah, I'm doing a slideshow on tiny homes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, how would a person go about finding an architect that specialized or knew how to do tiny homes?
Well,
I suppose Google it.
That probably would work. And but I mean, you could contact the architects in the book. There's five or six of them. I mean, they're in different parts of the country. That's all I can think of. I mean, I guess normally in a community, there probably are not architects known for doing tiny homes because there's not much money in it for an architect. You know, the architect gets a percentage.
Or anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they get their fees based on a percentage of the cost. And
the
so.
Lumberyard ain't going to get rich on you either on a 500 square foot home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, when I did this book and afterwards, and I was thinking of a very small place, like 150, 200 square feet. And that was kind of in my mindset. But when I visited a friend in Canada a couple weeks ago, and her place was 400 square feet, it didn't feel that small. Mm. So 500 square feet is not bad, you know. I mean, especially if you're just starting out, and
sure.
if you choose to do that rather than to buy a $500,000 house in California or pay high rent. That's not an inadequate amount of space for a couple of people, especially with a loft.
Sure, sure. I want to talk about your background a little bit. You mentioned this earlier, that you were an insurance broker for part of your life. I know you ran a newspaper when you were in the service. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Lloyd, and I suppose I could describe you to folks. Your hair is a little bit longer than the average bear, at least in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look like or talk like somebody that was an insurance broker.
Yeah, well, I was. I was sort of my own type of insurance broker, but I didn't sell life insurance. I sold general liability insurance and fire insurance and auto insurance, things that people needed. I didn't have to talk them into the fact that they needed it.
Uh-huh.
And it was in San Francisco, and we were my brother and I were starting to make real money. And then along came the Cultural Revolution, and I found that I had a lot more in common with the people 10 years younger than me than I did with any. And I took the proverbial trip hitchhiking across the country and just kind of thinking things over, and came back after a month and quit. Hmm. And went to work as a builder because I'd been building my own house, remodeling my own house all along on evenings and on weekends. So I was interested in building, and I just found I wanted to work with my hands, and I wasn't going to be happy doing the insurance stuff any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a good choice.
Now, I also read somewhere. Well, actually, right in front of me. You're 77 years old.
Yeah.
You don't look like it.
No, you look closely.
Pardon me?
You look closely.
Yeah, I'm not bad at all. And yet, you surf, you paddleboard, and you skateboard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't surfed for a while because I hurt my shoulders, but I still am obsessed with skateboarding. I don't skate. I don't skate pools. I don't get air. I don't get in the air. I skate longboards and downhill. It's kind of like longboard surfing. But so it's the idea is to carve and to have fun and to be able to get off the board before things get out of control.
Yeah, and I think that's probably easier said than done.
It happens. I mean, I've hit my head twice, and pavement is pretty unforgiving, you know, compared to surfing.
Particularly as we get older.
Yeah, yeah. It, I mean, it definitely. The older you get, the longer it takes to heal injuries. So I put a lot of effort into staying vertical.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love it.
How did you happen to wind up here in Grand Marais, Minnesota? This is a ways from Northern California at a sustainability symposium.
Well, I don't know. Maybe 5 years ago, I saw the newsprint flyer that these guys put out, and I thought, geez, look at all these courses here. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, it's all stuff I'm interested in, you know, because we got into real self-sufficiency back there in the 70s, and we're, you know, making our own cheese and, you know, trying to do a lot of stuff. And so, it was all right up my alley. And so over the years, I've just kind of always looked at through their catalog and, God, they're making birch bark canoes and blacksmithing and timber framing and yurts and
straw
sewing.
Bale homes.
Yeah, it's all great stuff. So, I don't know how
I thought it was me again, Bob.
Sorry, embarrassing.
I should have told Lloyd.
I forgot about that.
Except mine is doing that all the time in here, so big deal.
Where was I? I got so rattled there.
You followed their catalog and
Then I don't know. They contacted me, or I think probably I sent them some of our books. And they said, would you like to come back here? And it was a long way. But then after I did this book, I've had to go out and promote it. You have to do that.
Sure.
And so I came back here, and it's just been great.
Now, you know, it sounds like you lead between skateboarding and putting books together and what have you, pretty active life at an age, and I don't mean to dwell on that because I'm fastly approaching it, but at an age where most people are starting to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
What motivates you? What keeps you going?
Well, I just don't feel good unless I'm doing something physical. And the last couple of years, I've sort of lost it. I've just sort of got so tied up in doing this book that I wasn't. But I've been a runner, a competitive runner for 25 years, and I've always surfed. And when you do that sort of thing, like, you know, runners get addicted to running.
Right.
And so you get used to feeling good from being active. And as you get older, I just find that I have to make the time for it.
But obviously working. Mm-hmm. Is still important to you too. Otherwise, you wouldn't be putting together books like this.
No, yeah. Well, it's a balance. Walking the edge of, it's kind of walking the edge really between how much time I want to spend at a Macintosh, and how much time I can devote to hiking or cycling or just exploring. You know, going through the woods and on the beaches. And
once in a while, you need to buy groceries, and then it's time to do another book, right?
We were broke. I had to borrow money. I mean, it's after 40 years. We're at zero level. I mean, so people are not into publishing because of the money. But we did real well because I did a series of fitness books, including the book Stretching by Bob Anderson.
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I've got your website up here, which I should let people know is Shelter Pub. That's shelter, like the word P-U-B. And alongside all sorts of books, which one would expect, at least based on our interview here, on architecture and building books, the right side of the page is fitness books, stretching in the office, staying flexible, lifelong fitness, getting stronger, aerobic tennis, running.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously you must have a passion there too.
Yeah, I saw the book Stretching. I kind of had figured I had quit publishing after doing Shelter and Shelter 2, and I saw the book Stretching in 1979. It was a home published book, and I got it and did the stretches, and they worked for me for a back problem. And I contacted the author and I said, you know, how about having some, it was all fitness and for sports. Mm-hmm. How about having some stretches for carpenters and plumbers? And so anyway, we got into talking. And so eventually, Bob and Gene when I found out that he had sold 35,000 copies out of his garage, I got him to move to Bolinas, and we redid the book and published it in 1980. And so for 20, it has sold 3 million copies.
Hmm.
And so for 20 years, it was part of my karma. You know, I did fitness books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of went as far as I wanted along those lines, and then got back into the building books, which is really where my heart is.
Well, maybe while you're here, you know, Buck, my co-host, is a trail runner. Oh, here. Yeah. So he could probably, if you brought your shoes, he could probably take you out for a run.
I can't run these days. I destroyed my knees. I'm not a very fast uphill runner, but I can go fast downhill, and I did that for too long and too many, you know. I don't have all that much cushion left in my knees, and so
that's me.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we had a competitive running.
No,
I mean,
I'm talking to the phone.
Oh.
You know,
how far do you run?
Well, I run races as long as 50 miles, but
oh, wow.
I don't run 50 miles every day by any means. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, 6 to 10 miles a day or something that when I go.
You're an ultra runner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Slow guy.
Yeah, yeah. I loved Hopefully. It. I mean, me and my obsessed running friends run the Dipsy race, which is the oldest cross-country race in America. And so that's always been the incentive. And I just decided at a certain point, well, I could keep going and maybe do okay. I do well for my age group, but I want to be able to walk when I'm 100.
Sure.
And so I want to save that, you know, cartilage in my knees.
Go back to stretching.
That won't replace cartilage.
No.
I had a question to go back to the small homes.
Yeah.
The founder of North House, where you'll be speaking tomorrow night, he's designed and built a 96 square foot building.
Oh, you mean Mark?
Mark Hansen. You've seen it?
Oh, yeah. I've been over. I had dinner at his house and was with him twice today. And
of course, now it's
I haven't seen the little place. No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I've just seen his boat models, and he seems to be able to make anything.
I think he can.
Yeah,
probably.
And very nicely, too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I had hoped that maybe you'd seen it and could critique it a little for us, but that's small, 95.
Yeah, well, we went today and went up and saw that Manitou Lodge or whatever it is.
Manabuju. Yeah.
I mean, I have a blog, which is lloydkahn.com, and I put up a whole bunch of stuff from around here. I mean, from Duluth, that high school up on the hill in Duluth,
mm-hmm.
the brick end. And it took me 5 hours to get here from Duluth. Tom's Trading Post. Have you guys been to Tom's Trading Post?
Oh, sure. Drive right by.
He's got a great museum out in the back there.
Yeah.
And most people around here haven't seen it, of old chainsaws. But anyway, I put up a bunch of stuff. When I first got into Grand Marais, I went around and shot things, including the beaver fishing store.
Beaver House,
yeah. Yeah, and I learned that beaver flicks are fishing lures.
Yes, they are.
You know, I wondered.
And they were.
And just today, I just put up pictures of the Manitou Lodge and then that really beautiful little building on the end of town here, the church,
mm-hmm.
green roof
Chippewa.
And white.
Chippewa City.
And the fur guy, the trapper guy up there, and he wasn't there, Lovely. Unfortunately. And that lodge, and so, mm-hmm. you know, so I kind of put things up on my blog every day, but I've already put up a lot of stuff from around here.
Good.
Wow. Yeah.
We've been visiting with Lloyd Kahn. Lloyd, as I mentioned before, is the featured speaker tomorrow evening, 7:30 at North House Folk School and their Sustainability Symposium. He is the author of a number of books, the most recent of which is Tiny Homes, Simple Shelter, Scaling Back in the 21st Century. We've already given the website. And I assume people can buy the book off the website. Are there other places that they might look for it, Lloyd?
Yeah, at the North House Folk School.
Okay, good idea.
Well,
good idea.
Pretty close.
Yeah. I want to thank you sincerely for taking time to come in and be with us.
My pleasure.
Thoroughly enjoyed visiting with you.
Yeah, me too.
And I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Yeah.
Nice to see you.